action. Action.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Real Gay Movie Show. This is Ryan, and when you hear my voice at the beginning of an episode, you know what that means.
Rainbow Rewind!
Rainbow Rewind! Wow. Yeah, so it's Rainbow Rewind time again. Second one of these. And I believe, Mike, this is going to be our most fetch episode ever.
For sure.
So before we get started, with me as always is my lovely, radiant, magnificent co-host, aww, Mike Lovins. How are you, Mike?
I'm great now. Thanks.
I could tell you needed that. I did.
Thank you. Thank you, Ryan.
Well, I am really excited because we are talking about a really awesome movie that is very pertinent in LGBT culture, and that is Mean Girls.
Mean Bitches.
Well, that's the alternative title. They wanted to keep their PG-13 rating, so they went with Mean Girls. We chose this one as a Rainbow Rewind because while it may not be directly a full-on gay or LGBT story, I feel like this one has been just really prominent in gay culture over the years, from the quotes to the character of Damien to just the general bitchiness.
Yeah,
it is definitely one that has been very resonant in the gay culture. But I'm really excited to talk about this one, and so we'll start with just some of our own background with this movie.
Okay.
With me, it was very... Mean Girls came out in 2004. I graduated from high school in 2005. I feel like this movie wasn't as prominent for me until I got to college, because once I got to college, that's when I came out fully as gay. And it was just... the quotes were just so prominent. Everyone quoted this movie all the time my freshman year of college. It was very prominent.
And you could freely embrace how much you loved this movie.
Oh yeah. Like me and some of my friends my freshman year, like we even referred to ourselves as plastics and had debates over who was which character and all that kind of stuff. Like it was this
Did you movie, wear pink on Wednesdays?
I mean, maybe. Maybe. I may still do that from time to time. But it is. I mean, this movie is still so prevalent because there are times where I'll inadvertently wear pink on Wednesdays and someone will stop me and say, on Wednesdays we wear pink. You know, it's one of those movies that just has taken a hold of the culture and has mm-hmm. still been pretty prevalent even, 14 years later.
Yeah, so for me, I just saw Mean Girls for the very first time probably about 6 years ago when Pete and I were dating. He introduced me to the movie because I'd never seen it.
It was one of your introductions into gay life?
Kind of. I mean, just being perfectly real, you know, completely real here, when this movie came out in 2004, I was already married to my wife at the time.
Right.
And we had a 1-year-old son. So, you know, like back then I wasn't really watching these movies openly,
but I feel like this is one of those movies that when someone comes out or is trying to explore gay life, I feel like this is definitely one of the movies that they get sit down and
oh yeah
shown. Well, you watch Mean Girls.
And I remember that's exactly what it was too. It was like, you have not seen Mean Girls? Sit down.
Exactly. It's one of those, it's required viewing.
Yeah.
For sure. What do you think makes it required viewing for us gays?
Somebody's going to come at me with this, but there is a cattiness mm-hmm. that these girls have that I think like a gaggle of gays can have too.
Which, by the way, a group of gays is technically referred to as a gaggle.
A gaggle.
Yeah. Or a giggle.
Not to be confused with Kegel.
No, not at all.
But
you're right. I think that it's a little bit, as I was watching the movie this time and thinking about, okay, why is this a rainbow rewind. Why is this so pertinent to gay people? I think, one, it takes place in high school, which is when a lot of young gay people are kind of coming to terms with
whether they're coming out or not.
Right. And the main character in this movie, Katie, is just coming to school in America from Africa and is trying to navigate the social setting, trying to figure out how she fits in. And part of it is that cattiness and navigating that kind of mean girl culture. I feel like for a lot of us gays who, you know, came out at a younger age, it's kind of similar, is when we got into the culture and we're trying to acclimate and get a lay of the gay land. That was a big part of it. Just, you know, the queens can be a little nasty sometimes. And I think that maybe that aspect of it was very relatable for a lot of young gay people.
True. Yeah. You know, I was kind of thinking about this, this movie while I was watching it, trying to think back to when I was in high school, what movies like this may have been out. And most of the like popular 90s coming of age movies, because I graduated in 94.
That in 1894.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Back it was silent movies.
Right. I was total steampunk. most of the popular ones that came out were in the late 90s. So it was even after I'd graduated from high school. So I didn't really resonate with a lot of those movies. I was more into like the ones from the 80s, like The Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller and the other John Hughes flicks and stuff like that. But yeah, so
you were kind of in the no man's land of coming of age high school movies.
Right. And I mean, and I was really in no man's land.
Yeah, because when I was, you know, in high school, it was maybe a little similar, because I can't think of any movies before Mean Girls that were necessarily that in the early 2000s. I think, you know, 10 Things I Hate About You and Clueless and all those were kind of in the late 90s. Maybe there's like a gap of years where between when those movies are popular and then they kind of die for a little bit and then they come up again.
Now, Clueless was 96, and I did really like that one.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm pretty sure that's the movie that made me realize I had a big crush on Paul Rudd.
Yeah, future Rainbow Rewind Clueless, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so Mean Girls, just some background, some fun. Let's get into some fun facts about Mean Girls, talk about that a little bit, and then we'll give some of our thoughts and reviews for the movie.
Okay.
So Mean Girls came out in 2004. First feature script debut from a little known lady named Tina Fey.
What? Who's that?
Yeah. So, and watching this movie this time, being, you know, back when this movie came out, it was before Tina Fey blew up with, you know, 30 Rock and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and all of her other things. But, you know, after she was popular from Saturday Night Live, watching the movie back then, I really just thought of it as its own thing. Now, looking back at it and seeing all of her other work, I look at it and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a Tina Fey movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can tell it's her kind of writing, it's her kind of quirkiness mixed in with some like raw emotion kind of stuff. So very much feels like a Tina Fey movie. And watching it this time, I thought of it so much more as a Tina Fey movie based on just the way it's written.
Right. I mean, you think about movies like Baby Mama and Sisters, and it has some general feelings of the same, you know,
Like a mix of like some real life emotions,
right,
but also some like nonsensical craziness that just busts out of nowhere, which is kind of a signature thing of Tina Fey's that some people may dislike, but I personally love.
Yeah.
And this movie was actually based on a book. We like to talk about movies based on books, but actually this was based on a nonfiction 2002 self-help book.
Okay, so that I didn't realize.
Yeah, called Queen Bees and Wannabes. It was written kind of for parents about how to help their daughters navigate, you know, cliques and negativity that can be persistent in young teenage high school
Okay.
girl culture. And so, and actually when Tina Fey went to adapt the book, she didn't necessarily realize that it was just a nonfiction book with no plot. So she had to actually come up with like a plot and everything around this premise after they got the rights and were making the movie and everything.
Well, that even makes it seem more like a true Tina Fey movie, just because knowing then that those plot points and stuff like that were things that she came up with, not
right.
taking points from the... you know, plot points from a book.
Exactly. I mean, she definitely, they said she took some of the general ideas from the book mm-hmm. and then just translated that into a plot that, eventually became Mean Girls. But, the director, Mark Waters, I looked at his filmography, hasn't done a whole lot. I think his most recent movie he directed was Bad Santa 2, which I never saw. But he actually, right before this movie, right before Mean Girls, had worked with Lindsay Lohan. He directed the Freaky Friday remake with Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis.
I like that movie.
I actually never saw that one.
It's cute. I like it.
Yeah.
So, I love Jamie Lee Curtis, though.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome. But he directed that with the two of them and then, yeah, came on to this movie.
Nice.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of Lindsay Lohan, so she originally was going to play Regina George in okay. the movie. Yeah. She was originally going to play her, but then after Freaky Friday and with her kind of good girl persona, they thought that it wouldn't really be believable or go along with her brand to be Regina.
Yeah.
So they decided to recast her as Katie. And then Amanda Seyfried, who plays Karen, was going to be Regina. But they didn't think that her look and demeanor really fit the Regina George character well. So she got cast as Karen. They always were going to have Lacey Chabert, I think that's how you say her last name, but Lacey Chabert as Gretchen.
Okay.
She was always going to be that role. But then they got Rachel McAdams to play Regina because she just has that really sweet, kind demeanor about her that they thought would play well as this mean girl because she lures you in with how nice she can be, but it's all fake, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where did you get that?
Exactly. Oh, she plays that part of the character really well. Yeah. And then, yeah, can then portray that meanness. So I think they really did cast them.
I think the casting was good, yeah.
Yes. I think they ended up casting them all in the absolute perfect roles. I mean, I can't imagine. And this was Amanda Seyfried's first role as Karen. This was her feature film debut.
I think both she and Rachel McAdams have done pretty well for themselves since this movie.
Yeah. I think of the four Mean Girl leads, I think they have probably done the best. I would rank their careers. Rachel McAdams first.
Yeah.
She's been in so many good things. I mean, she's been in a Marvel movie. She was in Doctor Strange. She's been in a Best Picture Oscar movie with Spotlight.
Spotlight. Yeah.
Yeah. She's been in a lot of, and then this year with Mean Girls in 2004, she was in both Mean Girls and The Notebook. So talk about a way to really launch your career.
Right.
And then, yeah, Amanda Seyfried's been in some things. I think probably most notably she was in Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
And she's going to be in Mamma Mia 2 this year, which I'm so looking forward to. Not really. Nope. Lacey Chabert has just kind of been...
Yeah, see, now her, I don't really know outside of this movie. Yeah.
Well, you know, she was originally the voice of Meg in Family Guy.
Oh, okay.
Like in the first, I don't know if it was the whole first season or just the premiere and a couple episodes, but she was originally the voice of Meg.
Gotcha.
And then got replaced with Mila Kunis. That may be one of her most famous things other than Gretchen Wieners. So, but I'm sure she's done some other stuff. And then Lindsay Lohan, bless her heart.
I know. You want to root for her.
Yeah. She's one I hope has a comeback. I really want to see her come back and do, I think, especially watching this movie again, every time I watch this movie, I think, why isn't Lindsay Lohan like more famous? She should be at a stage of her career. So me and her are the same age.
Okay.
We're just a couple months apart in age. And so I feel like she should be at a point in her career where she's playing these young adult fun roles. I could see her being in comedies and being really great. I could see her being in some dramatic roles. But she just,
yeah,
poor thing.
She was such a sweet kid actor, you know. We mentioned Freaky Friday, and I actually liked the Parent Trap.
That's where I first saw her. Yeah.
You know, obviously another remake, but she was so good in those. I never saw the Herbie movie, but
no, me neither. That's the thing. She just didn't, I don't think she really capitalized on the Mean Girls success, and then really was probably more self-destructive than anything with a lot of things after this movie.
Well, and it might even be, I mean, yeah, she's kind of beloved by a certain group because of Mean Girls, but I think to some degree, though, that she got kind of stuck in people's minds as that Disney girl.
Yeah, maybe.
And
she tried to break free of that. I will say I have a special place in my heart for her single Rumors.
Okay.
Do you remember that one?
No.
Oh my gosh, Mike, come on. Well, that's if Mean Girls is required gay viewing, Rumors is required gay listening.
All right, I will put that on my list.
I think you will hate it, but it's such a trash song, but it's so good. I recently heard it again at like a gay club or something and got just way too excited. I think it was either 2004 or 2005. It wasn't long after Mean Girls. When she was trying to have a music career.
I mean, I remember her trying to have a music career, yeah. But
well, that was probably her like big single. I love Rumors.
She's no Britney, bitch.
I don't care. I love Rumors. She could go on tour and just do Rumors and then like get off the stage and I would be happy. I would go. I'd pay to see that. Oh, Lindsay. But, okay, so more about the background of this. So speaking of Tina Fey and Saturday Night Live, there's lots of connections to Saturday Night Live with this movie. Lorne Michaels, who is the showrunner and producer for Saturday Night Live, produced this movie as well. Tina Fey is the one who went to him, got him to buy the rights to the book to make it a movie. And then Tina actually brought in several SNL former and at that time current castmates, so Amy Poehler,
yeah,
Tim Meadows, Anna Gasteyer are all in it from Saturday Night Live fame. It was a very late 90s, early 2000s.
And I loved that era of SNL. Feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seeing the movie, it made me remember just some of those fun sketches that all of them were in. Although seeing Amy Poehler, I always think Parks and Rec.
You know, I just started watching that show.
Oh, you're in for a treat. It starts slow, but it gets amazing. But the thing, okay, so the thing that always gets me about Mean Girls, so I think Rachel McAdams was the perfect person to cast for Regina George. But do you know how old she was when they filmed this movie?
I'm guessing early 20s.
She was 26.
What?
When they filmed this movie.
Wow.
To give you a frame of reference. So Amy Poehler, who plays
her mom,
is 7 years older than Rachel McAdams. And wow. Rachel McAdams is 8 years older than Lindsay Lohan.
Wow.
So there's more of an age gap.
I would have never guessed
that. Yeah, there's more of an age gap between Rachel McAdams and Lindsay Lohan, who are supposed to be the same age in this movie, than Rachel McAdams and Amy Poehler, who's supposed to be her mom. That cracks me up.
Yeah, I mean, shoo. She must have been drinking some kind of potion, because I did not look,
I mean, she,
like I could have been in high school when I was 26.
No. I mean, yeah, no.
I looked like I was close to a nursing home when I was 26.
In fact, they were concerned about casting Amy Poehler in this movie because of how close in age the two of them were. They didn't know if it'd be believable, but you know, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are like best friends.
Yeah.
And so she convinced them to let her be in it, and for the better.
It absolutely works. It absolutely works.
Yeah, you wouldn't think anything of it until you do the deep dive afterwards.
And even knowing that doesn't.
Yeah, I've known that, and it still yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I buy it.
Well, and that's the thing too, you know, actors, they're hired to do a role, and if they can fit that role regardless of what their age is.
Right. Well, and especially, I mean, the Amy Poehler's character, Regina's mom, is obsessed with, you know, being young.
Yeah, and, being the young
hip mom. And so it kind of works that she actually is so close in age, because that's definitely what her character is going for.
So, you know, it's funny that, so you're talking about the actors from SNL that were brought on and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I think given my age and where I was in life when I watched this movie, I actually felt like I identified more with the adults in the movie more than the main kids.
Yeah.
Like I really resonated more with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. It's like, I get where they're coming from more than I got where the teenagers.
Well, and even Tina Fey has said about the movie, it's meant to make the parents and the adults in the audience laugh hysterically at how stupid all these kids are acting. And it's meant to make the kids or teenagers in the audience feel like a little uncomfortable. Like, oh my gosh, this is like real life. You know?
Yeah. Well, it worked.
Yeah. So, another fun SNL connection. Speaking of SNL, so Janice Ian was named after real life musician Janice Ian, who was the first musical guest ever on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And in the movie, they make fun of Janice Ian for allegedly being a lesbian. And the real Janice Ian actually is an out lesbian.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, that there's a little fun connection.
And, I liked that character too, by the way.
Yeah, I love Janice Ian, and Lizzie Kaplan plays her really well.
Yeah.
The producers thought she was too pretty originally to play Janice Ian.
So then they gothed her up a little bit.
So they got her to look the part, because she just had so much of the right personality they were looking for that they just made the look work.
Now, of the teenage actors, she's probably my favorite.
Yeah, a lot of the people in this have gone on, actually, mostly the adults have gone on to do some really great things. I think Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are the two people from this movie who have gone on to have the biggest careers.
Yeah.
Other than Rachel McAdams, probably. But some of the other minor stars have had some cool stuff.
Have you ever seen the show The Goldbergs?
No, I haven't seen that one.
So Tim Meadows plays the principal.
Oh, really?
On that show.
He's been typecast?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and so you know how in the movie, his character has a cast?
Yeah.
So that was real, because he broke his hand right before they started filming.
Okay.
So they wrote in the line about him having carpal tunnel, which is a hilarious reason to have to wear a cast.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they wrote that in because he actually broke his hand right before they started filming the movie.
Oh, that's funny.
So they just wrote it into it. And then one other fun fact. So one of the most famous characters from the movie, of course, is Glenn Coco. It's one of the big lines from the movie where Damien is going around giving out candy canes. And he goes, "Four for you, Glenn Coco. You go, Glenn Coco." It's one of the biggest memes from the movie.
Okay.
One of the most quotable lines. Mike doesn't know it. It's fine.
Know.
But so the guy who plays Glenn Coco, you only see the back of his head and he has no lines. The actor who plays him, he initially auditioned for a role in the movie and got turned down. But he lived right next to the movie studio, so he came back in the next day just to, you know, see if he can score some free food off the movie set. And the director felt so bad for him that he cast him in this role to basically just sit there and be Glenn Coco. And that has become one of the biggest quotes and memes from the movie. So he's gotten a little bit of fame from that.
The most famous back of the head you'll ever see.
Right.
In a PG-13 movie.
So let's get to some general thoughts about the movie. Mike, any favorite things, any things, initial thoughts, things that stand out to you?
So with this movie being relatively new to me,
right?
You know, having only seen it a couple times, I will say that this is a really funny movie. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I think I enjoyed it more this time than the first time around. And it's because the first time around too, it was just like, all right, what are you trying to make me watch? You know,
yeah.
But this time, getting ready for this, I appreciated it a little bit more and just had fun with it, you know. But I don't know if this is something you'd want to do or not. But I did kind of keep track of some of my favorite quotes, so we can go
me
over that
too. Okay. I have some of my. We'll do that here in a little bit for sure. Yeah, because I have some I want to cover as well. Because that's the big. I think that honestly, the script for this movie, I think it's such a well written, clever, smart movie.
Yeah.
I think
just fun.
It's fun. Yeah. It's pure fun, but it does critique how that whole mean girl culture is, because that's a very, very real thing. And there's definitely a version of that in the gay community that sadly did not die in the teenage years. But
well, and think it back to like my teenage years. Like, I wasn't one of the unpopular kids, but I wasn't one of the popular kids.
Right.
You know, I was just kind of in that I got along with everybody kind of thing. But
seeing the cliques, you can relate to that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No matter what generation you come from, those there's some variation of those cliques, and you can get why, even though in the beginning, Katie is kind of getting into like hanging out with the plastics to kind of get this inside information and stuff like that. But you can get why she would kind of start to think, I kind of like being in with the in crowd, and
right.
And where she was going with all of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's one that I think it came out at a perfect time for me, because one, all the quotes were great for, you know, making connections with people freshman year of college.
Uh-huh.
But two, I mean, it really did kind of, unfortunately, I think it probably guided me and some of my friends in the wrong direction. I think we got the wrong message from the movie, because we definitely tried to emulate that whole mean girl personification. We did not get the message correctly, I don't think. But, you know, we would play some mean pranks on each other. And
did you have a burn book?
We didn't have a burn book. But this was like at the dawn of Facebook.
Okay.
And so we would do...
Was it MySpace?
No, it was just after MySpace. So we weren't really doing the MySpace anymore.
God,
but
you are young.
We were... I mean, I had a MySpace, but it was more high school. Like, in college, this was still when you had to have a like college email address to have a Facebook.
Gotcha.
So very, very early dawn of Facebook. And so that's kind of where all of the tea was spilled. So we didn't need a burn book. We had Facebook, and on Facebook, it was still very private. It wasn't as much sharing. There wasn't newsfeed and all this kind of nonsense, that has taken over the Facebook now. But, so it was very easy to kind of talk about people and with people on there. And, you know, did you see who wrote on this person's wall and all that kind of fun gossipy stuff. And so it was very very mean girl culture, which fed into my freshman year of college.
It was more gossip than look what I ate, made for dinner last night.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I mean, but it was a very big part of the culture in our lives, and I think a big reason is that the performances in this movie are just so freaking strong.
Right.
I mean, it's well written, but the execution by all the actors is perfect. I really loved all the performances in this. And I know we're not doing our takes and slays and all that kind of stuff, but it starts with me with Amy Poehler. I mean, I think that she really, all the characters are so realistic and kind of grounded in some sort of way. You can kind of relate to them, but her character is just so over the top.
Oh yeah.
And out there. And it just brings that level of fun to this movie. I think this movie in the wrong hands could come off a little too serious. And that's what I love about Tina Fey and her style is, while it can be serious in some ways, it never forgets that it's supposed to be fun and funny and lighthearted.
Well, you have a teacher who works part-time at a restaurant, and which that just sounds so depressing, but yet it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, they make it funny, and the way the characters deliver their lines, and what I love about both the script and the way that the actors portray these characters is they all have kind of a different thing that's funny about them and a different sense of humor. So with Amy Poehler, it's the very over the top, kind of weird out there,
right.
Crazy mom who's trying to be one of the kids. But then you go to Damien with the snappy little gay one-liners that are funny. And then you go to Karen, where it's kind of the ditzy kind of girl. And they're all delivered perfectly. And I feel like they're all written super well.
Speaking of Damien, did you ever watch the show on HBO Looking?
I did. I did not really care for it. I saw like a few episodes and just couldn't get into it.
Like, he's a guy whose character in that show is so much different than his like fun character in Mean Girls. On that show, he was like really depressed, and it was kind of sad to see him have to like play somebody so sad.
Because you want him to always be Damien.
Yeah.
And that was another great thing I know for me is that, you know, in 2004 and 2005, when this movie came out, it's also around the time I was coming out. And so to see a gay character who is in on the joke and not the butt of the joke,
right,
was really great. And to see a gay character, to be quite honest, who's not just this chiseled, perfect looking guy, but someone who looks real, you know? I thought that was just a great character for young gay kids to see on the screen. He was very confident. He was very sure of himself.
He was just an average Joan.
Stop it. But he was just a very confident, sure of himself, funny, fully fledged character.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was gay was really just kind of a side thing. I mean, the character didn't necessarily need to be gay, but it definitely shaped a lot of his personality and his humor. But I feel like there are so many gay characters before Damien who were just the butt of the joke because they were gay. Mm-hmm. And while there are a couple of those lines, and most famously, he's too gay to function, yeah, right? It's not a running gag throughout the movie. There's so many other things he contributes to the humor that have nothing to do with the fact that he's gay.
Right.
So I thought that it was a really good character and maybe even a little bit of a turning point on what a gay character in a main movie, a major studio release movie could be. So do you want to get to some of our favorite quotes?
Yeah, let's do that. So I picked out five that just stood out to me and made me laugh a little bit more than some of the others. So,
okay.
Should I start with one of mine?
Yeah. Why don't we run through yours and talk about some of yours, and then I'll go through mine.
Okay. So the first one was ex-boyfriends are off limits to friends. That's just like the rules of feminism.
Right, that's of course, that's rule number one.
Well, what's funny though is because typically, you know, the dating pool in gay culture is a little bit smaller than it is for straight culture.
Girl,
how many times
if we had that rule, Lord have mercy, yeah, we'd all be single,
yeah,
forever alone.
Especially if it was ex hookups are off limits to friends.
Oh my gosh. We might as well all take a vow of celibacy.
Right. Yeah. So that one I thought was really funny.
Yeah. What else you got?
This one really cracked me up because I've shopped at Sears, but we only carry sizes 1, 3, and 5. You could try Sears.
Yeah.
I guess it's when Regina's starting to put on some pounds from those
calcium
bars. And
I used to get my husky jeans. But even like, you know, I talked about how great all the characters delivered their lines, but even that one actress, whoever she is,
right,
who delivered that
one line side character,
it was perfect. It was just she delivered it so perfectly with so much shade and her soul.
Lots of contempt.
Oh my gosh, I did notice that line. I felt like even more this time when I watched it because of just how perfectly I was like, wow, you just dug a knife into her. Everything. It was perfection. I love the way she had one line she had to deliver and she got it. It was great.
There was one where it was just like, it felt like it was so out of the blue. It just cracked me up, but it was, everybody's looking at all the flyers they're throwing around and, made out with a hot dog. Oh my God. That was one time.
I know.
It makes no sense, but
and so a fun fact about the movie. So there were a few things that were a little over the line that were going to make the movie rated R.
Okay.
And so apparently the original line for that was, instead of made out with a hot dog, it was masturbated with a hot dog.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that was one of the things they had to change to get it down to a PG-13. But I actually think made out with a hot dog,
it's even funnier.
It's even funnier because it just doesn't make sense. Why would you make out with a hot dog?
The visual of that is, yeah. And then, of course, if you're from Africa, why are you white?
Oh, my God, Karen, you can't just ask people why they're white. And just like the look of complete confusion on Amanda Seyfried's face when she delivers that line, like not even confusion, but even a little bit of fear, as if everything she knows in the world is not true anymore. It's just so funny.
All right. So my last one was from just like, it was from the trust fall scene. And it was just, another one of like the side characters, but I'm sorry I called you a gap-toothed bitch. It's not your fault you're so gap-toothed.
Right. Yeah, one of my favorites was also from the trust fall. Actually, a couple of mine were from the trust fall scene. The other one where she goes, I don't hate you because you're fat. You're fat because I hate you.
That was actually one that stood out to me too. But
and then when the one girl gives her like really sad little speech about why can't we just be like we were before, and then Jamie screams, she doesn't even go here. Which is another one
Tina
of the big,
like, just right. Please go home.
Which is another one of my favorite things to just, you'll hear that every now and then when you're out, people will just be like, she doesn't even go here. And definitely one of the biggest memes. But one of the things I like, and as I hear your quotes and look at the quotes I had, is it's not all just from the main cast. A bunch of the side characters have these great moments where they just get to,
there were no wasted characters,
right? They were Amy Poehler's character might have been a little wasted.
Well,
not like on booze. Gotcha. Mike, on booze.
Yeah, she was.
You can make puns, but I can't make puns. They just go right over your head, Mike. That's how this goes. I don't like this game, Mike.
You're not as punny as I am.
You can stop it. Anyway. So here are some of my quotes. So mine kind of go in chronological order, but right at the beginning of the movie. They wrote this in because of Tim Meadows' broken arm. They had to explain it. And so Tim Meadows goes to Tina Fey, how was your summer? She goes, I got divorced. He goes, my carpal tunnel came back, and she goes, I win.
Yeah. <that's, laughs> Yeah.
It just like, cracked me up. And then when the gym teacher is giving the sex ed, he said, don't have sex. You will get pregnant and die.
Yeah.
And then he ends it. Now everyone take some rubbers.
Each of those things that too, when he shows up and like, you'll get chlamydia and die. Chlamydia. K.
It's just so perfect. Next one is, it's a Damien line. Tina Fey, when they're in the little shop that Janice works in, and Tina Fey says something, and Damien looks at her and goes, "My Nana takes her wig off when she's drunk," just randomly. And I don't know why, but this time when I saw it, I just died. I had to stop the movie. I was just dying laughing because just how random that,
so random.
That is. Yeah. My Nana takes her wig off when she's drunk. And then Tina goes, "Me and your Nana have that in common."
Something tells me, too, that may have been improv.
I hope so. It's just so funny. Oh, and then Regina says, "I gave him everything. I was half a virgin when I met him."
What the fuck is half a virgin? What is
half a virgin? Which half, girl? Which half of you was a virgin? Oh, my gosh. I've always wondered that. Oh, my gosh. And then another one from the gymnasium. When Tim Meadows is trying to get them to open up, and the first girl is talking about how she has to use jumbo size tampons, and she goes, "I can't help it if I have a heavy flow and a wide set vagina."
I remember hearing that and just going, "Ugh."
Exactly. But just the way Tim Meadows is like, I can't with this. Yeah. So great. Which, by the way, so I never really thought about this until this time when I watched it, but so you have every single girl in the junior class in the auditorium. So what are all the boys doing when they're in there? Because the teachers are there, the principal's there. Where are all the guys? Are they just out at like recess or something?
They're on the football field.
Except Damien. Damien's right, in the right, auditorium right. with them, which cracks me up that he has to be there, but... Yeah, I was wondering that. Like, where are all the dudes? What are they doing? Of course, that's what I'm thinking. Hey, where are the men?
Well, and speaking of that scene, one of the other quotes that I really like, and I didn't have it on my list, but when Tina Fey says something to the "Who here has been," what'd she say? Who here
has been personally victimized by Regina George? Yeah,
and even some of the teachers back there start raising their hands. Meadows
like raises his hand. Yeah,
that cracked me up.
Another one that's like still very frequently quoted. You know, someone will say, "Who has ever felt personally attacked by Mike Lovins?" You know, so that's one of the things. This movie has just lived on mainly, I feel like, through those little quotes and. Jabs that are in the movie that are just so perfect for meme culture and everything. I mean, this movie, man, would have been perfect had it come out a little bit, just a few years later when memes and GIFs really were a thing. I mean, but even still, it's really taken over the meme culture.
Well, I feel like now too, after kind of rewatching it with fresh eyes and paying attention more to what I was seeing, I'm probably going to start seeing all kinds of memes and recognizing. It'll
make sense now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
When you hear someone say Glenn Coco, you will know.
Hey, I know who Glenn Coco is.
You
now.
You go, Glenn Coco. Four for you, Glenn Coco. But yeah, so lots of great quotes in this one. I feel like that's probably its most enduring legacy. But speaking of the legacy of this movie, so I know when we talked to Wong Fu, we talked potential remake and all that kind of stuff. Well, with Mean Girls, so there actually has been a sequel. It was a like direct to ABC Family sequel.
Yeah, I heard about it
too. I heard about it too, and I heard it is utter garbage. Like, I only know a few people who have even seen it, and every one of them said they were worse off for it. I mean, I had none of the original cast except Tim Meadows coming back to play the principal.
And who was the one that needs the most work?
Of course, right. Of course, yeah, that he was the reason to see the movie, of course. So so we're not even going to acknowledge that that exists.
Fine.
But actually, this week, the Broadway musical that Tina Fey helped create for Mean Girls just debuted officially on Broadway.
I heard about it. I didn't realize that Tina Fey had a hand in that.
Yeah, she helped actually create it, so... I definitely have to see that. I haven't heard anything about how it is, if it's great, but
if anybody from Kappa is listening,
right, bring it. Bring it to Columbus. Yeah, next time I go to New York, it's definitely on the list. But yeah, I think, and as I was thinking about it, man, of course it makes sense to be adapted into a musical.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see that. I can't wait to hear some of the music from it. I haven't heard anything.
Well, I was just going to ask if there's been any kind of indication as to, like, did they have anybody that we know, like, help with writing the music or anything like that?
And here's the thing. I'm not a big Broadway queen. I don't know a bunch of stuff about theater and all that. Like, I hate to admit it. Sorry, listeners out there who are big into theater. But, you know,
I'm guessing it wasn't Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Probably not. But the fact that Tina Fey was involved with it gives me a lot of confidence that it's good, at the very least. So I would be super excited to see that. But here's what I want to see going forward. So Lindsay Lohan actually apparently has approached Tina Fey over the years about doing a sequel to Mean Girls. A more direct sequel.
Uh-huh.
We're not acknowledging the other one.
Right.
That one does not exist.
Reboot.
That one might as well be called The Limit, because it does not exist. But anyway, but Lindsay Lohan wants a more direct sequel. And at one point, there was going to be a kind of spinoff movie called Mean Moms that Jennifer Aniston was kind of attached to.
I think I heard something about that.
That was going to be following Moms. But I want to meld those two things. I want there to be a direct sequel called Mean Moms that focuses on the four lead characters, and they are moms now.
Yeah.
And kind of the mean mom culture, because that is so a thing, where moms are super competitive about their kids, and not moms of like high school age kids, but moms of like really young kids.
Yeah. Grade school.
Yeah. I think that would be hilarious.
Even if you only managed to get back like Lindsay Lohan and like one or two of the other.
I want to see all four of them.
Well, that would be great.
But I want to see all four of them. And I want to see Amy Poehler back as a grandma, but looking the exact same. Like, I think that concept could be gold. I mean, it's been 14 years now since the movie. They could release it, you know, it would be 15, 16 years after if they start. But I think that is the next iteration that I want to see. Make me moms with the original cast, because they're all of like young mom age now. It'd be a perfect time to make that.
You need
movie.
To get to pitching.
Come on, Tina Fey, do this for me. But yeah, and I mean, I think that is what they need to do.
What would you think if they made that, but they made that one R-rated? Like, do you think they would need to keep it PG-13, or do you think that being them as adults now might be a little bit more?
I think they can make it R-rated, especially because there are so many. I mean, back then, having a mainstream comedy, there weren't a ton of R-rated ones. Old School may be the most prominent one I can think of off the top of my head. There were some, but definitely any around high school and coming of age were not. And so, yeah, I think they could definitely do an R-rated. And I mean, all the original fans of the movie are certainly old enough to to appreciate some R-rated comedy. And so I think that could be really, really fun and really cool. I think it'd be a great R-rated raunchy comedy following these same characters, but now developing drama as moms trying to, you know, get their kids into the best school and show off just how great their lives are. And
Amy Poehler showing how great her grandma boobs still look.
Right. No, I want Amy Poehler. I want them to strive to make her look the exact same.
Well, right. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like,
and I think it would be funny if the little Regina's little sister also didn't age and was still just dancing in front of the TV to music videos. Like, I think that
might be a stretch.
But I don't know. I think it could be funny. But yeah, I want to see. That's the movie I want to see. I think they could do that tomorrow, and it would be such a huge hit. Oh my gosh, people would line up. And then 20 years after that, they can make Mean Grandmas.
Well, and that's kind of like the current thing to do with sequels. A lot of franchises are starting to like develop direct sequels to the original and retcon and remove anything that actually came out after the original and then coming out with like the true sequel that takes place 20 years
later. The good thing is no one has to even pretend to retcon Mean Girls 2 because
nobody saw it.
No one saw it.
and if they're calling it Mean Moms, then...
Right, it'd be... Yeah. I think that would be...
Yeah, I like it.
I think that'd be great. And they're all, you know, at that prime age where they could have young children, it would be a very believable thing. I don't know. I want to see that movie. I think that movie would kill. I think it would do so flipping good.
Bet Tim Meadows would be in.
Tim Meadows. He's already signed on.
He's already signed on.
He's already there. Yeah. I mean, but okay. Who doesn't make this movie? Like, who is too big for this movie? I think, honestly, Tina Fey's probably the one who is keeping it from happening. Like, she's probably the one who has a lot on her plate, is doing a lot of other stuff, and is maybe not as interested in it. But
why not? I mean, the kinds of movies that she makes...
Apparently, Lindsay Lohan went to her with the idea, and not necessarily this idea, maybe, but an idea of a direct sequel.
Right.
And she was not having it. So, I bet if Tina Fey says, I want to make... the sequel, I bet it happens.
Absolutely.
Because of course she could bring along Amy Poehler.
Right.
Tim Meadows and Anna Gasteyer aren't doing anything. They're just sitting there waiting for the call. Lindsay needs her career resurrected. I'm sure she would love to do it. I think the other person who may be the biggest holdout might be Rachel McAdams, but I don't know. I think she'd be up for it. I don't know.
I would think so. And you know,
and they did a 10-year, I know a few years back they did the like catching up with the cast 10 years later, and they were all together and talking about how great a time they had. It seems like they really look back fondly on making this movie. And so it's not like Sex in the City where some of the girls hate each other now. Yeah. Some of the women, hate each other
and
are
running for governor.
Right. They have, you know, they all have some stuff going on. This cast seemed to really enjoy that experience, look back fondly on it. And so
who knows, maybe working on this play will light a fire under Tina Fey's butt.
Maybe. I hope so. Tina, if you're listening, I know Tina listens every week.
Absolutely. She comments too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody should go in and comment so they can see what she said.
Exactly. You know, if Tina can do it, you can do it. But yeah, that's what I want to see. Do you have any more thoughts on Mean Girls, Mike?
Not really. Just, I definitely see myself watching it again and not waiting 6 more years to see it.
I would hope not. It's just, it's such a good rewatch. It's so rewatchable. It's so easy to sit down and put on, and it goes very fast. It's not a slow movie. It's very fast paced. The funny comes at you really fast. The jokes fly fast. It's not, you know, it's not a drag to watch Mean Girls.
Right.
It's a drag to watch Tu Wong Fu. Okay, you got that one. I got that one.
In fact, I almost said that.
I could see it. I could see it in your face. I had to get it before you could. But no, it's a really fast pace. It's not a hard watch. And so, yeah, I will revisit this anytime I can. Anytime someone says, do you want to watch Mean Girls? The answer for me is always going to be yes.
Duh.
I'm down.
Yeah.
If anyone says, you want to watch Mean Girls too, I will punch them directly in their trachea for even suggesting that.
Noted.
We're not having Mean Girls 2 night, Mike. That's not happening. But yeah, so let's rate this one.
Okay.
So how many reels are you going to give Mean Girls?
I'm giving it 3.
3?
3 reels. Just mainly because like I said, it's a funny movie. I definitely think if somebody hasn't seen it yet, they should watch it. It doesn't have that significance for me it might have for you, at least not yet. But a solid good 3.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give this one 4 reels. The patented 4 reels.
4 reels.
This is 4 reels. And even beyond that, I mean, if I'm making my list of my favorite movies of all time, this is probably pretty high up there. Definitely not favorite, but maybe in my top 10, possibly, as far as movies.
We should do that sometime.
We should. We absolutely should. Because I've thought about it, because people will ask me, you know, what's your favorite movie ever? It comes up in conversation. It's a terrible first date question that you get a lot, you know? So this is definitely one that I never give just one answer. I like to talk about a few movies. And if I'm talking about comedies, this is definitely one that comes up as a favorite for sure. So yeah, I say all that to say Four Reels for me, mainly because of the quotes that spawned from this movie, the great performances, and an amazing Tina Fey script. Really can't poke any holes at all in this one.
I'm curious then, what everybody else thinks about this.
Real gay listeners out there, why don't you let us know what you think of Mean Girls, what your favorite quotes are, favorite parts, maybe,
or what you didn't like,
or what you didn't like, or, you know, what it meant to you in your life, if anything. So let us know. Reach out to us on our different social media platforms. So you can find us on Facebook at Real Gay Movie Show, as well as Instagram at Real Gay Movie Show. You can follow us on Twitter, tweet at us at Real Gay. And then, of course, you can find the podcast on your favorite podcast app of choice, whether it be Stitcher or iTunes, Google Play, or YouTube. Find us, subscribe, comment, rate us, report us, you know, whatever your heart desires. And we look forward to engaging with you there.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we love doing these Rainbow Rewinds. Keep an ear out for our next one coming out next month. But for now, this is Mike and Ryan. And hey, have a real gay day, y'all.